More Idaho Matters right now. Yesterday, voters in 11 of Idaho's 44 counties went to the polls to vote on school bonds and levies and trustees. Nine school districts held votes in places like Bingham, Bonner, Jerome, and Twin Falls counties. Six supplemental levies and one bond passed. Two trustees from the Bonner County School Board were recalled as the ongoing controversy over the hiring of Superintendent Brandon Durst continues. Kevin Richard, senior reporter and blogger with Idaho Education News, is joining us now to talk more. Good to have you on the program, Kevin.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, so most of these elections were on levies with a couple of bonds, and they were pretty successful. So what stood out to you with that?
It was a pretty good night for most school districts. The only proposal that failed was a bond issue in Shoshone. So a couple of the ones that were interesting that kind of stood out a little bit. Bonneville School District got a bond issue passed over there in eastern Idaho. Pretty similar to a proposal that had failed in May. This will get really fast-growing district in eastern Idaho. That will get them a new elementary school. It'll provide some more space for kindergarten, all-day kindergarten programs. Closer at home, Valley View had a two-year $14 million supplemental levy pass. A lot of that money, like with a lot of these supplemental levies, a lot of that money will go towards teacher salaries and benefits, staff salary and benefits.
So, Kevin, let's head up north to Bonner County, where two school trustees were recalled after being accused of having a, quote, hidden agenda. So why did they get voted out? And how is this connected to former state Senator Brandon Durst, who is now the superintendent?
Yeah, I don't know how hidden the agenda really was, to be honest with you, John. I mean, a lot of the controversy in West Bonner centers on the hire of Brandon Durst. We all know that. We've talked about that quite a bit. These recall elections were striking. Keith Rutledge, the chairman of the board, Susan Brown, the vice chairwoman of the board, they were recalled overwhelmingly. 63% of voters said, Keith Rutledge, you're out of here. 66% voted to get Susan Brown out of office. Gemma, recall elections are very rare. I've got to give a shout out to fellow political follower Holly Cook on Twitter. She pointed out this website, Ballot PD, which I've used before, has a great rundown of recall elections in Idaho across all forms of government. They just don't work very often. You know, what happens sometimes is people decide they want to do a recall. They don't get enough signatures to get the recall on the ballot, or, you know, sometimes an elected officer will say, look, I resign. I don't want to go through the process of a recall. Sometimes voters reject a recall and they decide to keep somebody in office. So it's really uncommon for recall elections to be successful. And what it means is a lot of people turned out at the polls to vote these two trustees out of office because, quick civics lesson, which I think gets us to the controversy in West Bonner. If you want to recall an elected official, you have to have majority support for the recall. Plus, you need more people to vote to recall that officer than voted that person into office in the first place. So you have a lot of people turn out. They had huge turnout yesterday in West Bonner.
Yeah, that must have been a huge turnout. Okay, I want to switch gears for a minute, Kevin, because you have been following this whole issue with University of Phoenix being purchased by the University of Idaho. And in fact, you got a chance to sit down with two of University of Phoenix's top administrators, including their president, to talk about this sale. So what did they say to you?
Well, yeah, it was an interview I've been wanting to do for quite some time. I had a chance to sit down with the president, Chris Lynn, and their provost, John Woods. The whole interview is available on our podcast format as well. So you can listen to the whole thing for yourself. And what struck me is, you know, they said basically a lot of the same things we've heard from University of Idaho officials, that there's little to no risk that this sale is going to be a burden on taxpayers. You know, Chris Lynn walks through the numbers and says, look, we're going to provide $200 million right off the top. That's a cash flow that can be used to pay off these bonds. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be reserves, and we're going to shed off enough revenue, you know, peel off enough revenue from our cash flow to cover these bond issues. So, yeah, he downplays the risk to the University of Idaho and to taxpayers, and says that by coming in to a state like Idaho that's had a lot of trouble getting students to enroll in college, getting adults to stay in college, they feel like they can really help bridge that gap you know, they serve older students. They tend to work with students who have a job, have kids. They think that they can help get some of these students to enroll in college, you know, in, you know, from non-traditional, non-traditional students, adult students, rural mm-hmm. students. So they paint a very optimistic picture of what's going to happen in the future. And they were, you know, I had to ask about the past, and I had to ask a lot of questions about, okay, you know, you've seen your enrollment drop precipitously from where it was a decade ago. You paid the Federal Trade Commission $191 million over a complaint about what the FTC considered to be deceptive advertising. You've closed most of your physical campuses. You know, a lot of those issues are really concerning to a lot of Idahoans, non-starters to a lot of Idahoans. So I had a chance to ask them, okay, what happened here? And what does mm-hmm. it mean? And where is this university going from here?
Okay, so I'm going to be the skeptic here, because I think anyone who's in the midst of a sale like this is going to say, of course there's no risk. This is great. It should go through.
Sure, sure.
You know, what are the risks, Kevin? I mean, because one of the things that I read in your article is really the length of time it takes for an average University of Phoenix student to graduate. It's upwards of 8 years.
Right. I mean, their success metrics are not as good as your typical traditional university, and they're not nearly as good as the University of Idaho's metrics. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but you're talking about a graduation rate for Phoenix of 27%. You know, students when they show up after 8 years, barely a quarter of them actually have a degree. For U of I think it's more like 60%. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but considerably better. But you'd kind of expect mm-hmm. that. I mean, and Phoenix can say, look, we're dealing with non-traditional students. We're dealing with students that, maybe they're taking classes part-time, they're juggling work, they're juggling family. I get all of that. That's part of the, that's part of the reality for an online institution. That's part of the reality for an institution dealing with non-traditional students. But, the skeptics of Phoenix, and there are plenty of them, say, well, it's not just that. There are also other, shortcomings mm-hmm. that Phoenix has been wrestling with for years. So, that's part of the complicated thing about this whole transaction, is that, Phoenix has a lot of baggage attached to it. And, the reputational issue is a big concern for a lot of Idahoans. And, even Scott Green, the president of U of I, has said, yeah, we get it. People have reputational mm-hmm. concerns about Phoenix.
So what did the president, President Lin of University of Phoenix, say when you asked him in particular about falling enrollment then at Phoenix, Kevin?
The way he explains the falling enrollment is that Phoenix peaked about a decade ago with almost 500,000 students. I mean, think about that for a second.
Wow.
That's a staggering number. He said that a lot of it was Phoenix moving into two-year programs, associate degree programs, basically the programs, the degrees that are available at community colleges. And he said, we got away from our mission. That's not what we're supposed to be trying to do. We're trying to focus on helping students get a bachelor's degree to fill the void of a four-year school. So he says, we peeled off and got out of those two-year programs, basically are out of two-year programs entirely right now, leaving that to the community colleges. Well, if you do that, you're going to lose a lot of enrollment along the way, because a lot of the enrollment was in those two-year programs.
So, Kevin, with just about 2 minutes left, what stood out to you the most about this interview with the University of Phoenix officials?
Well, one thing that did stand out to me that I wanted to ask about, because it's been in the news so much with the lawsuit that involves Attorney General Raul Labrador and the State Board of Education, the court filings suggest, and records that we'd received even before the lawsuit, even before they came out in the lawsuit, it suggests that there are other states, that there are other potential bidders for the University of Phoenix. That includes the University of Arkansas, by the way, where the trustees voted not to affiliate with Phoenix. There are folks in Arkansas, in Arkansas education circles, who are still interested in Phoenix. So I wanted to ask Chris Lin, okay, how active is that? I mean, is it possible that after all of this process and all of this rigmarole and all this controversy, that it's still possible that another state or another entity could kind of swoop in here and make a deal with Phoenix. And he said, really, I'm not talking to anybody else right now. We're not talking to anybody else right now. We're committed to trying to make this deal happen with the University of Idaho. I thought that was significant, given what we have seen unfold and what we've seen debated about in court and what we've seen kind of bandied about in the court documents.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, Kevin, it was a super interesting interview. And I think there's probably a lot more to come with this. So really appreciate all of the reporting and investigating you've been doing on this issue.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.